Hello, everybody. Welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge, and this is your latest Manchester United news this Sunday morning as Ruben Amorim demands more from his players after a good win against Sunderland. We'll get into his quotes and a little bit of transfer news this morning, actually, as well, involving incoming midfielders, but also outgoings. More stories about Napoli, Mainoo. That was the preference in the final week of the transfer window. Expect this story to probably pick up early this week, because Mainoo, Man United, the situation is not changing. He wants to stay at Manchester United. He is putting the work in at Manchester United. He is impressing players and management for his effort and dedication, but he's still not getting the minutes. And you know what? This is the second international break. This is middle ground between the summer window and the January transfer window, and nothing is changing. So Mainoo's situation is not changing. He is looking at the exit door, and Napoli could well be the option for him. I mean, what are your thoughts on that? Also, a little bit on Elliot Anderson. Newcastle expected to go back in for him and take him back from Forest. So I still think the question is, what are we actually doing with our midfield? It's the ongoing major conversation. Huge positives yesterday, finally seeing Lemens in goal, Sesko up front. But the midfield is still a hole in that United side. And, I sort of do agree. I mean, Ruben Amorim said some very interesting things after the game, which we'll get to in a moment. But just on a starter for 10 in relation to Mainoo, sort of briefly spoke about it last night, but to expand on my point, it's all right saying keep him, and that's certainly my stance, but he's not getting minutes. Like, coming on for the last 10 minutes against Sunderland at home when you 2-0 up, it's not minutes. There are no more minutes. Like, the next game is Anfield. He won't start that game unless we have an injury crisis. And then the next game after that is Brighton. You know he's not going to... There's just not a pathway for him into the team. And I sort of don't want him to... Well, I don't want him to leave. I want him to stay and fight for his place. That was my stance at the end of the window. I was like, you know, I was almost a bit annoyed by the story coming out that he wanted to go. And it was very true. He wanted to go. And you sort of take that personally. You know, this is a United player that you really want to be part of our future, who's 20 years of age. Why are you putting it out there that you want to leave Man United? You know, you stay, you fight. I'm comfortable with that stance. You stay, you fight. Well, he has stayed and he has fought and nothing's changed. So he clearly knew something we didn't know in July and August to be asking for the move in the final week of the window. And nothing, you know, as somebody that wants him to stay, I can completely concur with his stance that, you know, you want to play football. And look, if I was Ugarte or Mainoo, I would look at that situation. I would go, the club have actively tried to sell Casemiro for 2 years. He's starting ahead of me. Bruno Fernandes is not a midfielder and he doesn't even play well there and he's starting ahead of me. I mean, as I've said before, it's like going after your dream wife and she's already married with kids and you stood outside going, marry me. Like, take the hint. And I think that Mainoo's took the hint. I think he knows what he wants and it's Man United, but Amorim has slammed the door on that for the moment. So, you know, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? I know from the training ground, Mainoo's not turning up late. He's not putting the effort in. He's just not getting the game time. So I think unless something massively changes between now and January, and that could still be a manager change, could be an injury. Unless something happens, I think this is gonna be a problem. And as I said, I think we're slightly ahead of the game here because I think this is going to hit in the international break because Mainoo is just sat twiddling his thumbs. It's not like he's got an England squad to go and play for. I mean, what I don't understand about Mainoo, by the way, is he's 20. Why does he not get called up for the under-21s? Do you not go back when you've played for the first team? I presume that's probably what it is to do with, but, you know. Why are you live at 9 a.m, says Angel. I told you this last night. I can't do the 10 o'clock show this morning because Seb's got a cup game. I will update you on that later. So I'd a little bit early this morning. BC says he likes this time better. I prefer the 10 o'clock show, but better to have a show than not. Comical says, let's start Binda in the midfield. Well, give me your thoughts on Mainoo. I mean, let you know what? You know, we are a bit of an early crew here. Let's get a bit of a poll going. Do you think Do you think Mainoo goes in January? Yes or no? That's the best way of doing it. Let me know. We'll come back to that. Anyway, Ruben Amorim had some comments after the game yesterday, and so did the Sunderland manager. Now, before I go to Amorim's comments, let me just say that the Sunderland manager basically said that we were aware of their strengths, but they went direct, second balls. It's impossible to stop this idea. Their right side with Ahmad and Mbeumo was really strong. So basically, the Sunderland manager is basically saying that Manchester United yesterday went a little bit different than he was expecting, i.e. they went direct and, you know, were aggressive going after second balls. I sort of agree. We had to win the game. Many of you said it's all about results. You can't moan about performance when it's all about results. We'll talk about what Amorim said. He wasn't happy with the second half, and I know a lot of you weren't happy with the second half, but in the first half, we clearly put a lot of energy in, and the game was won at half time. I think if it had been 0-0 at half time, we might have struggled in the second half because we did run out of energy. And look, I don't know much about Sunderland. I don't know much about their coach, but I think he's right. I think we went direct, and I think we went aggressive. And the thing I like about is, you know, what is the fact that he said, you can't deal with a team that goes after and wins all the second balls. I mean, we're not normally like that. So we had to win the game. And basically what he's saying is they swamped us in the first half. You know, they smothered us. They, you know, basically ambushed us. And I like the second ball statement because I like teams that go and win the second ball. When it's there to be competed for, you go and win it. We definitely ran out of energy in the second half, and you know, you've got to be in front because otherwise you're going to lose in the second half. But we were direct, we were aggressive, we were intense, and we should have been 3-0 up at half time. So if that was a problem for Sunderland, I mean, I thought Sunderland were the opposite. I mean, the marking on the Mount goal was shocking, and there was a lot of space out there for us to exploit, and we definitely exploited it. I see that as a positive. What Amorim said was, I saw it today, the players' support. They want to do the best. They don't want to change coaches all the time. Being with the manager means giving everything in every transition. It has to be shown through actions. Sometimes when I look at our team, I know we can do better. It has to be shown on the pitch. And look, they were all out again on Instagram yesterday, which is their right. If you win a game, I don't really care about the Instagram stuff. I ignore most of it. But they're all out on Instagram today. Last night, we're together this, you know, we fight this, that and the other. And look, I don't take any notice of it. I've seen people react, respond positively to it. I've seen people get irritated by it. Look, they're footballers. They're not bloody brains of Britain. They're footballers. They're brands. They want brand deals. They want popularity. When they win a game, they're going to get on Instagram. That's what they're going to do. I get the frustration that they can't turn up against Brentford, but then they turn up against Sunderland. They won't be on Instagram after Anfield in a couple of weeks, I don't think, because I don't. That's the challenge. You want to be on Instagram again? Go and get a result at Liverpool. Then we'll talk. So, look, I don't give a shit about togetherness or effort or working hard together because you didn't do it against Brentford. You didn't do it against Fulham. You've done it against Sunderland at home. Well done. Now go and do it against Liverpool, who are vulnerable. That's the building blocks we need to see. That's Lego FC. I want to see Lego FC. I don't want to see Light Switch FC. Where it's on, off, on, off, on, off. And I think that's what Ruben Amorim's talking about. It's like, you know, he clearly sees it in training that the players are behind him. He clearly sees it in training that the players don't want another manager, another upheaval. But actions speak louder than words. And sometimes they're not putting the effort in and they've got to show it on the pitch. And I think he's at, you know, people are very critical of Amorim. I've been very critical of Amorim. But there are also huge swathes of positive things that he does. And most of the time he speaks sense. And I think he's speaking sense there. Look, I've got a team that is behind me. I've got a team that doesn't want to change the manager. But sometimes they don't turn up. And actions speak louder than words. And they've got to put it in on the pitch. And that is it. And look, you could almost argue that yesterday, first half very good, second half sort of dropped off a little bit. But it's going to have to be better than that. If they think that's the level and that's the effort, 45 minutes of running really hard against Sunderland, they'll come up against a team that's well organised who runs back. And then it's like, can you sustain it? So in some ways, I think Sunderland was the perfect game yesterday. They came to Old Trafford after a ridiculously good start to the season. They probably came in a little bit naive. United were like a wounded animal. We worked ridiculously hard in the first half, won the game, and then it's game over. It's the next games that are going to be really interesting. We're not going to get favours at Anfield. We won't get favours at Anfield. We won't get favours at Spurs. Forest and Brighton, who knows how they go. So we've got four games now that I think I'm really excited about. And I think Amrim's correct. He'll never. What I like about Amrim is, and a lot of you don't like it, but I like it. What I like about Amrim is, when we win, he doesn't go over the top. And when we lose, he doesn't go over the top. He's quite consistent about there is a way to conduct himself after a game. And I think, I remember us beating Everton in his first home win last December. And there's all these people outside Old Trafford going, Amrim Ball's here, Amrim Ball's here. And he came out after the game and he said, that's not Amrim Ball, that's just a win. There's going to be bad days ahead. Like, that's just a win. And he is very, very honest about things when we win. And I think, you know, he will know what you know. He's basically, he knows we beat Sunderland, but he knows what's coming. He knows he's not winning the next four games against Liverpool, Brighton, Forest and Spurs. He knows he's not. And that's why he's saying after the game, these players want to back me. These players want to support me. But they're not always putting it in on the pitch. And I need actions more than words. I need to see it week in, week out. Because he knows what's coming. And I'm not saying losses are coming. He just knows difficult games are coming. Just a couple of other things from him. He said, we really missed Ahmad against Brentford. He allows Mbeumo to play more centrally and get him behind. He played well, pleased with his performance. He defended well. Offensively, we already know he's very good. He creates chances every time he has the ball. I think that I quite like this comment as well, and I highlighted it just for a very, very quick reason. I don't think Ahmad has had the best start to the season at Manchester United, but I'm a big fan of his. And I said a few weeks ago, it's very obvious that Amrim really likes Ahmad. So if, like me, you're a big fan of Ahmad, this manager is going to prioritise minutes for him over a lot of other players. Like, he is a big fan of Ahmad. I came into this season and I was a little bit worried because I was like, if he's going to be right wing back and it doesn't work, there's not really a place for him at number 10 because we've got too many. I'm quite relaxed about the Ahmad situation now because it's very, very clear that Amrim really, really likes him. And I think Ahmad did play well yesterday. A lot of people, I mean, I saw some people saying he was shit. I thought he did play well yesterday. I mean, it's a brand new position, right wing back. And I'm just very quickly, would you rather see Ahmad at right wing back or Dalot? Would you rather see Ahmad at right wing back or Mazraoui? Like, it's a back five. I want those wide players to be attackers. I don't want it to be a back five. With the best will in the world, Mazraoui and Dalot are defenders. I want it to be a wide player. There's going to be some creases to iron out, but I want us to stick with that. And it's true. When Mbeumo goes central, he's making the runs in behind for Sesko to flick on. He can't do that when he's going to drift wide because he's playing with a wing back. So a very good tactical observation there from Amrim. And he also spoke about Sesko and said to score goals and bring a different profile, he'll improve his connection with his teammates. He was on the receiving end of balls from Lemens, which is more important than people think in this league. We have a commanding guy on throw-ins. All his characteristics can help us win matches. We're very happy with him. He puts a lot of pressure on himself, which is not a bad thing. And he has the potential to do much better. Again, I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, and I think there's a couple of comments I wanted to bring in from Sesko. But don't underestimate the fact that we scored a goal. Well, we got the Chelsea goalkeeper sent off because of a long ball up to Sesko that he flicked on for Amrim, for Mbeumo. And yesterday, there was a flick on that nearly led to, well, I think Xhaka and a Sunderland player got injured. It caused chaos at the back. We've not been able to do this for years. I mean, maybe Zlatan, maybe Ronaldo a little bit, but it's almost frowned upon to go direct and look for those flick-ons. I don't mind it. I don't mind the long ball from the goalkeeper. I'm fed up of watching teams play out from the back. I'm really fed up of it. And I actually crave something a little bit different. So having the ability to go long at times and utilise the flick on or the hold up play of Sesko, it will give us more unpredictability. And we're seeing it with the long throw. I mean, you've got Delo's playing at left wing back who runs over to the other side of the pitch to take a throw in. I don't like it. We got a goal from it. I don't like that. I'm anti that. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, I love long throw-ins, you know, Rory Delo. But it's effective. And it got us a goal in a game that we needed to win. More and more teams are doing this. We're seeing this with the kickoff where teams are going, you know, all on one side. It's like a rugby kick. Something's happened in the Premier League in recent months where a lot of teams are playing the percentage ball. And the reason they're playing the percentage ball is because it's fine margins, isn't it? Look at Arsenal on corners and the work they put in there. Football's almost becoming a bit NFL. There's these little plays now that people are using, like these set piece plays that are becoming, you know, very, very important. And we're seeing it with the long throw-ins and we're seeing it with the long ball. Now, I'm not a big fan of the long throws. I think I've never been a fan of the long throw. It's for me, it's not football. But the long kick from the goalkeeper flicked on by a tall striker, why not? At least we're not playing out from the back, you know? So I think Sesko brings something to the team different. This is what he said. He said it's faster in the Premier League than in the Bundesliga. There's also, of course, the physical aspect. It's very athletic, but I'm starting to get used to it. I'll reach that level very quickly. I watch a lot of Bundesliga now on That's Football. I think the Bundesliga is the closest thing to the Premier League when it comes to speed and intensity. But the fact that Sesko's saying it's even faster in the Premier League, I think that explains a lot about why he's taken his time. He also said that I dreamed of making that leap in a stadium like this. It was great to score and it's even better when it helps to win the team. The atmosphere was incredible. And he was asked, have we seen the best of Sesko? He said, this is just the beginning. More to come. I'm still adapting to the players so I know I can be better and I'm going to show it. And I think, look, in relation to Sesko, some people might take that very literally and say, well, look, you know, he's not the player he was at Leipzig yet because he's not up to speed. I personally don't even take it like that. I don't think he means he's not up to speed from where he was at Leipzig. I think his age profile means that he's naturally going to get better anyway. So I do think the fact that he's got a couple of goals in a couple of games just keeps the Wolves at bay, keeps the door closed on the idiots and, you know, if he can just keep popping up with goals, I think the next 2 years of Sesko will get better and better. And that's what we're looking for. And he definitely offers something very, very different. Amrim said, we didn't play well in the second half, but there was focus and fighting spirits. And these are the things that help us to win the matches. Yeah, I detected a lot of people were talking about the second half and weren't particularly happy about it. I don't remember a clear-cut chance for Sunderland. I mean, obviously, they could have got that silly penalty, which was never a penalty. But I would have been worried if they got one back because I think, you know, we've been in that position so many times this season. But they never really did look like getting one back. And to be fair, I think we had more chances to make it three than they had it to make it 2-1. So I agree. Look, it's just important to get that result. He also said Mason Mount can defend very well. He's very intelligent. He knows how to attack well. Today, he did very well. I mean, I don't know about you, but I think the Mason Mount situation is really, really interesting. He said after the game, is this the start of something? It has to be. After Chelsea, we thought it would be, but then we lost to Brentford. It starts today. We're going to work hard during the break. We want to string together two wins, then three, and fight to finish in the top four. I mean, there's a guy who just doesn't get it. I'm sorry. That's just I want to explain that statement. I think Mason Mount, and Robert McCormack's going to love this, I think Mason Mount, when he's fit, is in Amrim's best team. I don't know who's out of it, but I think Mount is in Amrim's best team when he's fit. Now, the instant intelligent reaction is going to be, why the fuck did we buy? Why did we spend £120 million on number 10s when Mason Mount's going to start when he's fit? And Bruno can play there. And Xerxes can play there. And Ahmad can play there. To which the answer is, I don't know. And we probably never will get the answer. But I suspect it's because Mason Mount has been injured for 80% of the time in his time at Man United. So Amrim quite rightly probably thought, I can't rely on Mason Mount. But it's a World Cup year. And suddenly Luke Shaw's fit. And Mason Mount is very, very well liked by Thomas Tuchel. So it's amazing. I call it the Darren Anderton effect. Darren Anderton used to get fit a few months before every England tournament and get picks for England every year. And then he'd be injured for the next 18 months. It's amazing what a World Cup year can do for players' fitness. Now, does that mean some of these players just don't fancy it sometimes? Or is it psychological? I don't know. But he is, it's the World Cup healing miracle, says Mozin. It is amazing. I mean, to be fair, Mason Mount has been injured this season. So let's not pretend that he's been fit. He has had an injury. But when he's fit, I think he's in the team. So what does that mean for Cunha, I suppose? I don't know. It's an interesting... But as I said last night, I like competition for places when it's good players. And I like Cunha, and Mount's done very well this season. So I just throw it out there. I think he's in Amrin's best 11 when he's fit. So yeah, we'll have to wait and see. But where I think Mason Mount misses the room completely is where he says, it starts today. We're working hard during the break. We want to string together 2 wins, 3 wins and fight to finish in the top four. We're not finishing in the top four, mate. I don't mind him saying that, but it just shows you how players are almost computerized to say things that they think the fans are going to like. Like, it starts today. We're working hard. We want to string together 2 wins, then 3 and fight to finish in the top four. We're not finishing the top four. We're nowhere near a top four team. I'd have left it as we just want to win more games, but we're not finishing in the top four. But that's the modern player for you. I think they just say things and believe things that maybe not in reality. And it's not that deep. I mean, I'd rather have a player say, I want us to finish in the top four than the top 10. But the thing I'm interested in is it starts today. Can we go and win again? And if we can win again, it's Anfield, it's Liverpool. And that's all I'm interested in. I'd focus in what Amrin says. Every game's a cup final and it's the next game that matters. Winning 2, 3, 4 games in a row and getting in the top four, I'm not interested in that conversation. I don't trust that conversation. I don't believe in that conversation. I think it's an irrelevant conversation. I think the only conversation is, can we go to Liverpool and get a result? They're vulnerable. Can we go there and get a result? Can we then go and beat Brighton? That's three results in a row. And when I say a result, a draw at Anfield's not, you know, I'd love to win, but I'm looking at it and I'm going, let's go to Anfield and not get beat. Let's beat Brighton. Let's beat Forest. And then let's go to Spurs and maybe not get beat. And you know what? If I've got 8 points from the next 4 games, 2 wins, 2 draws, I'm extremely happy. And that's what we should be looking at, in my opinion. Seth says, one adapt I saw was pressing, didn't press too high to accommodate Bruno and Casemiro in the midfield. Looks for compact if the attack press high, midfield is exposed, says Seth. Good observation. We can't press too high because we leave massive gaps in the midfield. Who do you think Amrin would pick on the left side to handle Salah? And would Cunha get benched again for Liverpool, or would you like to see Bruno benched as Rajaf? I think Cunha's already on the bench for Anfield unless we pick up injuries. I think Mason Mount will start, Mbeumo will start, Sesko will start, Bruno and Casemiro will start. He might bench Ahmad for Diallo and put Dorgu against Salah. I wouldn't put Diallo against Salah. His awareness is terrible. I personally think Ten Hag having Mount cover the entire pitch doing end-to-end runs 40 times a game is the reason behind his injuries rather than him not being up for it. It's a TBH. Yeah, but Mason Mount should be able to run him back and forward for 90 minutes. We paid £55 million for him, £250,000 a week. Look, the reason Mount's fit at the moment is because we're giving him 60 minutes and, you know, we're managing his workload. Nobody should believe that Mason Mount can play in the midfield and do Bruno's job. I think he could do a better job than Bruno. I think he's a better tackler and he's a better short-range passer. But you're right. I've seen people say we should play Mount there. We can't because he literally cannot do it. His body won't be able to do it. So we have to manage his minutes. It's very sad that we're managing a lad in his mid-20s minutes because he's playing very well for us, but that's the situation we're in. Thoughts on Ricky saying Shaw's better than De Ligt, says Rajaf. Ricky's the king of Player FC. Lovely show, Mark. These last few weeks have been tough, but I appreciate you and the community. Look from South Africa, says Nate. Nice one, mate. Hope you're doing well. Thank you very much. And he also says, it's a bigger institutional question that does Mainoo stay. Why do we choose old players over minutes for a talented youth product? Our club was renowned for our youth players. Now it's just lip service. Look, 64% of you think Mainoo will go in January. 36% of you think he will stay. I would pose the question like Nate, how is it that Manchester United are picking a guy in their midfield who they're trying to sell for 2 years, who is going to walk away when his contract goes and is only here for the money, 350 grand a week? How is someone like that being picked over Mainoo, who is our future? And I think that's a very, very relevant question. And I have stolen it. I saw somebody mention it a couple of weeks ago. The club want to sell Casemiro. He's on 350k a week. He's not playing particularly well. And he's being picked over Mainoo, who is the future. I don't get that. I don't get that at all. But the manager must make decisions. The manager obviously wants that to happen. And look, I'm a firm believer that the manager should always have the final say. But it's a perplexing one. Lemens looks decent. Secure pair of hands. Definitely improvement and calming influence for the defence. He needs to start against Liverpool. I don't know where this is coming from, Andy. He's definitely going to be our number one now. You can't drop him having... I mean, that would be wild to drop him. I'm not an Amrabat person, but I don't see the vision from the Glazers and Sir Jim and Ruben on the shape of the squad. I'm firmly anti-Glazer, anti-Ineos. I'm pro-United. I just want positive football at United, says Moll. Savage is a new member. Thank you very much, Savage, one of our moderators. We've dominated for at least 20 minutes in every game this season. For the best teams, that's enough to win a game, says TBH. I've seen some Saudi teams are interested in Maguire, says Liam. I still don't understand changing Yoro and Maguire every game. Wasting a sub on it makes no sense, says Simon. I'm not that bothered about it when we're winning games, but he does have an obsession with changing his defence, I agree. Mr. Monkey says, bore off with Mainoo, he's overhyped. That's an opinion. Welcome to the show. Even if Bruno goes, Amrin might want a similar profile. Will that work in the Premier League? Do you think one of the centre-backs stepping into the midfield will work, says Vibor? I think the midfield conversation is the most important conversation. The goalkeeper's one is resolved. Yoro's back in the defence. I think Martinez will come in for sure when he's back. Wing-backs are still going to be an issue, but the midfield is the big conversation. Krishna says, Wharton, Ugarte, Mainoo, Elliot, Anderson is the midfield I want to see, along with one or two academy players. No Bruno or Casemiro. And Forza says, looking at the game yesterday, we don't use Cunha as we go through Bruno, even when we have Mainoo and Ugarte on the pitch. I said it last week. I'll say it again. I don't think Bruno, from what I've seen, suits Cunha. Cunha wants the ball into his feet to spin and turn. Bruno Fernandes wants the ball into his feet so he can knock balls out wide, over the top. He didn't want to just play a simple pass into Cunha, which for me is a misprofiling of our midfield again. Like, we're not getting the best out of Cunha. I watched Cunha a lot at Wolves. He wants the ball into feet. He can hold people off. He can turn. He can play 1-2s. He can dribble. He can carry the ball. When are we seeing that happen? We're not playing that type of ball into his feet. We're not moving it quick enough. One thing Bruno does is he gets the ball and he has a look. He's one of those players that gets the ball, has a little look, you know, and that's not it. Cunha wants quick ball into feet so he can exploit spaces. I think Mount would do a better job of that, but he can't play in the midfield because he hasn't got the body to do it. So I think Cunha might suffer in the short term because I think he'll go Mount and then Bermo and keep Bruno obviously in the midfield. But Cunha, for me, can be our best player. I think he was the most exciting signing in the summer. But he was dropped yesterday. Let's call it how it is. And we need to get... We're wasting a player that, for me, was one of the most exciting players in the Premier League last year. So it's not rocket science to get the best out of Cunha. You get the ball into his feet quickly. I don't think we've done enough of that. And I think what we're getting now with Cunha is a player that's not getting enough of the ball he wants. So when he does get the ball, he's shooting a lot. And we've seen how that works. So Amrim's got a job there to try and get the best out of Cunha. Because obviously Mount's going to get injured at some point, then Cunha's back in the team. Right, I've got to go. I'll update you on how it goes with Seb's match. Thanks, everybody, for watching. Thanks for tuning in live this morning. If you didn't tune in live, get your comments in. Lots for you to get into. Personally, I think the way things are going, Mainoo's going to be asking to go in January, and United are going to be saying no, in which case you're writing off his whole bloody season, which seems a bit unfair. But I just don't see the pathway into the first team for him, which is probably what he saw in the summer, to be fair. I genuinely expected him to have played a lot more minutes than he has, because I don't think Bruno or Casemiro played that well. But Aaron still sticks with them. And Nemanja obviously knew this, and that's why he wanted the move that many of us were quite disappointed in. And I don't think it's going to change anytime soon. Even if Casemiro gets suspended or injured, it'll be Ugarte. Mainu's only chance is anything happening to Bruno, and we know he's untouchable. So, and he doesn't get injured. Thanks so much for watching, absolute legends. I'm on That's Football at 2 o'clock for the 2 o'clock games. Got an 8 o'clock show here later as well. Keep an eye out for that Mainu story this week. I'll be very surprised if it doesn't hit based on what I was told about an hour ago. Speak to you in a bit. Take care.